are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I'm glad that it's a much safer evening on the Kennedy tonight, Esmeralda. Everyone seems to have... Everyone's gone now. Everyone's gone now. I did ride the Metra in earlier today. This morning I came in for a meeting. And actually, I interviewed Rick Bayless, the Rick Bayless.
Oh, nice.
And it was wonderful. He brought me all kinds of salsas and guacamole and chips and everything. He has such an empire. You know,
for sure.
Oh, my God. He's so good.
The next time you speak to him,
yes,
tell him I want some chaya.
Okay, I will tell him you want some chaya.
It's a spinach from the Yucatan, and it only grows there in Rick Bayless's backyard.
Those are the two places where chaya. John Tatey of the AV Club, have you ever had chaya from Rick Bayless's backyard?
No, I can't say I've had anything from Rick Bayless's backyard. Well, I really want to.
If you've ever had his salsa, Frontera, the brand of his salsa is Frontera. So you might get that at your Whole Foods and your Jewel. And he was fascinated.
We actually buy that kind.
It's great.
It's a little soupy.
Okay. Esmeralda. Wow. Esmeralda, I need to talk to you about salsas. But you know what's funny about that? I don't like the chunky kind. You prefer the chunky,
thick stew.
I like
it nice and chunky.
I should also add that
Anna always gets the green salsa, which is different, and it usually is soupier.
Get the fire roasted tomato salsa.
Okay.
I like the kind you can just dip in.
Mm-hmm.
You dip a chip in, and then just stuff comes out. But you can hold it vertical.
That's stew. I think you like the salsa stew. I like the soupy, I guess.
I like the soupy, too.
Yeah.
Because you gotta maneuver it into your mouth if it has chunky tomato bits.
Esmeralda was trying to figure out how to finish that sentence.
Where else would you maneuver it, Esmeralda?
Well, you know what I mean. Like, say your whole chip is not an entire chip. You have maybe piece of a chip.
Uh-huh.
Or there's too much on the chip and then it breaks. There's too much that could go wrong.
Okay. That's fair. You just came back from Texas. You were down at South by Southwest. Did you partake of any Mexican food while you were down there?
There was a terrible taco spread at the launch party for the TV show, but I didn't realize. I had very little of it.
But you finished that sentence with a launch for my TV show, which is premiering this week. It's exciting.
Oh, my.
Congratulations.
We taped it earlier this morning, Patty, and it went great, and I'm so excited about it.
How cool is that?
It's pretty cool. So, yeah, if listeners don't know, if they haven't heard it before, the AV Club TV show premieres this Thursday on Fusion.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to fusiontv.com/where to watch if you want to find out how to get it.
Excellent.
If you don't have it on your cable provider. Thank you. I'm pumped, Patty. You know how much I love broadcasting, mm-hmm. and to have a TV show is just crazy. And I've been very nervous. In fact, does this happen to you? Mm-hmm. When you are in periods of stress or just high anticipation and mm-hmm. anxiety, my stomach just goes sideways, and the whole GI tract stops working very well. And finally, in the past couple of days, as everything has come together, it's settled down, and I can eat properly again. But does that happen to you?
It's fight or flight.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a fight or flight. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, what happens when it really all starts to... You know, especially if there are any rehearsals or something like that where it's all happening, it feels like it's happening around me. Like I have a tough time connecting sometimes because it's just all so, and there's so many things happening at once that I have to try to remind myself to take a breath. It's almost like I'm holding my breath the whole time.
Yes, exactly.
Like that. So I don't know why I had to make that sound. I think that it's implied of what it sounds like. But I had to make a sound effect regardless.
I think that captures it. Yeah.
Well, you're covering all the things that AV Club covers and current events. Are you doing current events or?
So the way the show's set up is at the top of the show, I do some headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Do some headlines. That came out wrong.
It's okay. In fact, do.
Do some headlines.
So it went well this morning is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Your brain's allowed to unfold right now. You're not under pressure. This is my show.
So I tackle some headlines from the past week at the top of the show with jokes, and then there's sort of a topic A in the monologue that I expand on for a few minutes, so we'll have sort of a deep dive each mm-hmm. week, I guess I'd call it, we're covering all sorts of pop culture this week. I'm looking at the pop and pop culture, especially as it applies to TV.
Sure.
Next week, topic A is going to be Nintendo because they have a new console out.
I'd heard.
And then
and I'm guessing
have
you've
you
already tried
to play
this
it?
No.
It's pretty cool.
They don't send us stuff. They're like, they don't send WGN any of those, any trials.
Didn't I get you set up on some Wii U stuff a while back, though? I gave you a few games. Yes, I did.
Did you really?
Like Mario Kart and whatnot.
Oh, that's for my house. Yes.
For your house.
At home.
Yeah,
yes, at home. But yeah. Yes, you gave me things, but I'm not set up with like getting things from the supplier.
No. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes. Yes.
I actually gave you.
I'm like, you didn't give me. You didn't give me like a whole console or anything. But Nintendo sent you a console, didn't they?
They actually did not,
because
this is the problem with naming your show after your website, is they'd already given the website a console. So when I, you know, the TV show has its own office and it's its own operation. And so when we called them up, they were like, "What? We already gave you guys one." And they just could not get it through their heads that the TV show was something else. Anyway, we'll be talking. I don't hold it against them. I had to buy it myself, and that's fine. So does everybody else.
Plus, it's a tax write-off for research
and
for production.
Exactly. So I still get an annoying show business perk out of it. Yeah, that'll be our topic next week. It's a cool console. And then the week after that, we're going to look at the resurgence of black TV.
Of black TV?
Yeah.
Of
like Atlanta, Insecure, shows.
Empire.
Empire, exactly. Mm-hmm. Prominent shows starring talented black actors. It seems to come in waves if you look at TV history.
But also the Oscars reflected that as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Latinos are doing really well, too.
Yeah,
that's right.
We'll get around to them, I guess.
What do we have? We have a reboot. We have One Day at a Time. What do we got? We got
that WB show.
Which one?
Or is it WB?
The Vampire Diaries?
No. What do we have? Mexican Vampires.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, she's pregnant.
Oh, Jane the Virgin.
There you go.
Yes.
The CW, not the W. The WB doesn't exist anymore.
The CW, see? We don't even know. That's how much we're behind our folks.
Is that Frog is Gone? They don't got the Frog anymore?
Oh, my
Dust Till Dawn? There's a TV series called Dust Till Dawn?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
That's a vampire show. It's got to be.
Michigan J. Frog, you're remembering, Esmeralda.
He's gone? Not there anymore?
He's been gone for like 20 years.
Well, at least we had a lot of nominations in the acting categories. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the AV Club's John Tatey. And last week he asked me what I thought of, or just now again you asked me what I thought of the show Baskets and the actor Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, we were, Patty had to
Esmeralda, can you do it?
Zach Galifianakis.
Very good.
Okay. Zach Galifianakis.
Correct. Patty had to get serious for that live read in a real hurry because we were giggling about trying to pronounce his name. You were pronouncing it like Snuffleupagus.
Oh, I was?
Yeah.
Okay. Was I?
You were putting an extra syllable in there, as you just did.
Zachanephagus.
Before we get to that, can I say something real quick? I don't go on Facebook very often, and very rarely, in fact.
Are you a Twitterer?
I
added an R on that too, by the way.
That's right. Yeah, I go on Twitter and so I don't even tweet that much, but I'm on there. And if people ping me on Twitter, I usually respond to them. But on Facebook, I'm just not on there as much. I use it to keep in touch with family and friends like occasionally, but it's not a public thing for
me.
So I went in there recently and I went in my messages, which I never look at. And there were like a dozen sweet messages from WGN listeners saying, we enjoy you on there. And you know, we listen to you on Patty Vasquez. So I just want to say, if any of those people are listening, I'm so sorry that I never got back to you. I'm just not on Facebook that much. And
he prefers visits to his home.
Yeah.
If you could just show up on his front porch, he'd really appreciate that. I'm kidding. I apologize.
Please don't. So I just wanted to say I'm sorry to those listeners. And thank you so much for the kind words. I was so moved to find this treasure trove of nice messages from people who've heard me on the radio here.
Well, you are fantastic. So you deserve those kind messages. And I know what you're talking about, too. There's a folder in your message box. If you're not Facebook friends with somebody, you have to dig for that. And I don't always.
Exactly.
And so that's a whole different folder. So I also would like to reiterate, if I have not responded to your messages, and if they're kind, thank you so very much. If they're not, I'm not going to get back to you.
All of mine were kind. Maybe because I talk about uncontroversial stuff. But yeah.
I don't talk about controversial stuff. I try to get back to the kind ones. But I keep
Absolutely.
Them. Eventually, people will hear back from me like a year later. So there's no shame.
Maybe
in
I
that.
Should still respond to these
Yeah, just
people
say thank you so much. I know it's been a year. And then just, you know, yeah. Sounds okay.
So Zach Galifianakis, I've been catching up on Baskets. I'm all caught up now. Mm-hmm. If you're not aware, this is on FX. It's in its second season right now, or maybe just finished up the second season. It's Zach Galifianakis, and Louis Anderson plays his mother, and Louis Anderson is hilarious.
He won a Golden Globe for this series, by the way.
A well-deserved Golden Globe.
He's been doing comedy for like 35 years, I have to say, at least it that long. What a great career moment.
Yeah, right? And Louis Anderson, like, where was he?
He was
five years ago. He was on that diving show. Yes,
he was on
that Fox diving game.
Well, he briefly was hosting the Family Feud, wasn't he?
He was not. He was maybe the worst family. No, Richard Karn was the worst, but Louis was pretty bad.
Who was Richard Karn?
Al from Home Improvement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hosted Family Feud for a hot minute, a couple of years. But I wanted to see what you thought of Zach Galifianakis, because he's such on this show. It's a pretty gloomy show. I mean, it is a comedy, but it's a pretty glum show. And that seems to be Zach's style right now. And maybe that's true to his personality. And I go back and forth on whether I love him or whether I'm kind of bored with all the sort of morose energy of the show.
Well, I was telling you when you asked, my first impression of him was from the show True Calling. He played the coroner, or at least he was like the intake at the morgue where the girl who played Faith on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I can see her name, Elijah Dushku. Yes. Well, you can say things on the air. You don't really make
Shantae,
me seem so,
chime in.
Instead of making me look smart. Yeah, Shantae's telling me it was Elijah Dushku.
And she was fast on that.
She was super fast, because I'm guessing she's also a fan of the show. Wasn't he good on that show? Zach Anafagilis was excellent on that show. He strikes me as the kind of person who that's happened to a lot, and I hope that he has a good
time. I'm sure he does.
Hey, as someone who's been called Velasquez, Sanchez, that Mexican girl.
What about me?
I get it.
My name is four letters, last name is four letters long, and nobody can pronounce
Potato.
It correctly.
Teddy? You get Teddy a lot.
Teddy, I always get. Which is cute. You know, it makes me like a bear, I guess.
The first time I met you, you told me it rhymes with matey. So I've been all in ever since.
That's right. Or Warren Beatty.
Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, now that name is back in the forefront. But I enjoyed him on True Calling. When I saw him in The Hangover, it was fine. I mean, his stand-up is more performance art.
Yes.
Right? It's a little skew. It's a little more like Andy Kaufman.
There's music in it.
Right.
And it's not
it's odd.
To my taste so much.
Right.
I mean, I appreciate absurdism, but it's not my favorite stand-up. But I do think this is a good show, and I keep watching it. So I just can't quite get my head around Zach Galifianakis. But I like performers that I can't quite pin down, don't you?
Right. Whether there's something about them, I don't know if I like them or hate them. Absolutely.
Yeah, because then you know they're bringing a really individual and unique energy, and we need more of that.
I don't know if I can't say if I feel that way about Lena Dunham or not. Lena?
Yeah.
No, I'm just pretending like I can't. I'm just going to mispronounce everyone's name. I'm not a big fan of the series Girls. I like what she's done.
Oh, my God, Patty.
I know. We talked about this.
Have we?
Yeah. I watched
You've broken my heart before?
I've told you. I watched the only full episode I ever watched, I actually kind of enjoyed, was the one where she wears a bikini throughout most of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
She was quite comfortable with herself.
I've watched
a couple episodes.
Like
but I've watched them like out of context. There was one episode in the stirrups. I think it was like early on in the first season. At the doctor's office, and I was like, it seemed like she was just trying too hard to me. That's all. Yeah, it was forced. It felt very forced. But when I see her, you know, and her public persona is a little bit, I'm not jiving with that either.
Yeah.
She bugged me on Scandal. She played a.
Oh, I didn't she know she, had, was on she was Scandal.
She had a character line through Scandal that was, but the thing was, her character was supposed to be annoying, so it kind of worked.
Her character's supposed to be annoying on Girls, too.
Yes.
All the characters are supposed
to be. It works. It's definitely annoying.
I love that show. I think that season 5, it's in season 6 right now, I think season 5 of Girls is one of the best seasons of TV I've ever seen.
Wow.
In terms of the writing and the performing, and it's brilliant.
I have very few television shows that I have to rush home and watch, or that I'm looking forward to watching. Like Homeland, I'm kind of watching just to see what happens next.
You're still on Homeland.
I'm still on Homeland.
A lot of people abandon that one.
Yeah, I could see that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love F. Murray Abraham and Mandy Patinkin and Claire Danes. Just a great cast.
F. Murray Abraham.
Yes.
I didn't know he was on it now.
F. Murray F. and Abraham. Yes.
I didn't even know he was still alive.
Yes. He's fantastic on that show.
Okay.
I hope I'm right about this now.
Didn't he die?
I think you're Rob. That's what I thought.
What actor am I
thinking? No, I'm serious. I'm not giving you a hard time. I thought he passed away.
Hold on one second.
I agree.
I know we're all checking. F. Murray Abraham. Am I wrong about? No, he's on. I just said Homeland.
Are we thinking of Abe Vigoda?
I don't know, maybe, but F. Murray Abraham won the Academy Award for Amadeus. Who are you thinking of?
Yeah. Yes. I know who F. Murray Abraham is. I just thought he was dead. And I didn't know he was on Homeland.
How could you both think he was dead?
Because he has that look about
him. A doll.
Him,
he plays, he plays Dara Dahl. Yeah.
Who's the guy that was in Scarface? Didn't he pass away? Or is that F. Murray Abraham?
Okay, of course. Yes, I've seen. I don't know who was in Scarface, and I think Sean.
Rob Loggia definitely died.
Robert Loggia.
Right. Why am I sounding so matter of fact about it?
That guy. I'm sorry.
That guy dead.
I was confused too, Rob. I thought he had died.
Rob, did you think Robert Loggia, or were you thinking F. Murray Abraham?
I thought F. Murray Abraham had died, but now I can picture him on Homeland. I don't know why I couldn't place it, but yes, and he did win the Academy Award for Amadeus.
And also Robert Loggia, excellent in The Replacement. Come on, John. Let's dance a little bit in the studio. Loosen up a little bit. Yeah, there you go. I feel good. It's good in the shoulders.
Yeah, I can do arms.
You and I, we do enjoy so much in the media, whether it's pop culture, the news. You and I are big consumers of news and information. And
you
so
and
many
I just spent the whole break complaining about the TV news.
Okay, we can talk about this briefly. I think Rachel Maddow was, it was completely an unnecessary moment in television tonight. For an hour, nothing happened. Unless something big is going to follow up after that, that was a big so.
In case you don't know,
oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Just to catch people up, Rachel Maddow tweeted out earlier today, tonight we got Trump tax returns. Mm-hmm. Trump tax returns, not Trump's tax returns, which was the first sign that maybe this wasn't going to be. I don't know why that apostrophe has made a difference, but to me that was the first sign that like this was not going to be all it's cracked up to be. And indeed it wasn't.
It was awful. It was an awful hour.
It was new information, but it was the tiniest piece of new information. And of course she did her usual eternal preamble, and I'm not a fan. I'll tell you what I am a fan of.
Yes, though, please. Yes, nice segue.
Is Feud, Betty and Joan on FX. This show is highly entertaining. It's about the making of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, Betty Davis, Joan Crawford, and it sort of jumps around Hollywood history to recount their feud and dramatize their feud. It is, I need the actresses' names now. Jessica Lange plays Betty Davis. Susan Sarandon plays Joan Crawford.
And Stanley Tucci plays the director?
Stanley Tucci plays Jack Warner.
Oh, so the studio head. Ooh, I didn't realize
Alfred
that.
Alfred Molina plays the director.
Okay. Oh, that's a great cast.
It's a great cast. It's another of these FX anthology series. It seems to be FX's model right now, and it's working very well for them because they're just producing these great shows. And Betty and Joan, get into it if you know, it's, what, a 10-episode commitment? It's not that much of your life.
Right. It's smart for the network, for the performers.
It is smart, and it's a smart show, too. And it just crackles on this, and they have fun with it. But I highly recommend it. Are you a fan of classic Hollywood?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Betty Davis, you know, there's a movie called Jezebel that she pretty much demanded to have made because she had auditioned for the part of Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind and didn't get it. So Jezebel was kind of her, I'm going to do an Antebellum South movie. And it's interesting because it's a black and white movie, and there's a scene where she comes in a red dress that is kind of remarkable because we don't see that it's red, but we know that that's what's so striking about the moment in the movie. Anyway, yes, I'm a big fan of classic movies, Betty Davis, Joan Crawford, not as much of Joan Crawford's work, as a matter of fact. And even Betty Davis, they're just, I watch that because of the story behind it.
Right, right.
But yeah, I would love to watch this series. I forgot that is something I should be watching.
Yeah, I think you'll like this. I highly recommend it.
Because I love Fargo. You got me on Fargo.
Fargo's coming back. Did in a season, month or two.
Really?
Yeah, season 3.
It was so good. I liked season 2 better than season 1. But it was amazing.
To me, it's like choosing your children.
Okay.
They're just different.
It is.
And I love them both.
I think for me, it's, what's his name? What's his name? The,
Martin Freeman?
No. What's Angelina Jolie's ex-husband?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, the character he made, Sling Blade. When he was that's my impression of Sling Blade. I don't know. The fact that movie got made always cracks me up. But
hey, what's going on out here? If I can change the subject, who are these guys?
Oh,
these
the statues?
Giant statues.
It's Abraham Lincoln, and we're not sure who the other guy is. Like,
looks like he's delivering a pizza to Abraham Lincoln.
We think he's giving him directions, like to see Chicago, maybe.
It's quite a production happening out here. There's outside the Tribune Tower right now. Are there apparently these two giant statues? It's Abe Lincoln, yes, and then this guy in a cable knit sweater.
Mm-hmm. They left them out. They're leaving them there for quite a while. You know, Marilyn Monroe, that giant statue of Marilyn Monroe, mm-hmm. was here at one point.
Oh, really?
Which ended up in a landfill, sadly enough.
What?
Yes. You can Google Marilyn Monroe statue landfill.
Wow,
I mean, who's
that's
in
sad.
It is very sad. So someday, these guys, poor fellas.
I hope.
Well, I mean, Marilyn,
these guys deserve the landfill.
I was going to say, if Marilyn ends up in a landfill, what's going to happen to these guys? It's not gonna end well for them.
We put in the wood chipper Fargo style.
It's so wrong. We're gonna take a break here. When we come back, Rubfest. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Something interesting has happened, John Tatey. I have not fully read all the information presented to me, and I've been saying that we have Rub Fest. And I thought, like, I was thinking, like, you know, like a meat rub and, like, different ways to rub your meat.
I was thinking along those lines as well. I wasn't sure what the heck Rub Fest is going to be.
I don't, maybe I have a cold, or maybe somebody else does. It's Rum Fest, Esmeralda.
That makes so much more sense.
I thought rum.
Did you really?
Well, my brain immediately goes to alcohol, so.
I apparently need a massage. I went to Rub Fest. I actually now need to make that happen. I need there to be a Rub Fest somewhere
but
in my life.
But they were in here and they just and left. They don't want to come in the studio and be interviewed.
Well,
where
our guests coming in studio, it's the rumlab.com, and they're celebrating their third annual Midwest Rum Festival Saturday, April 8th at the Logan Square Auditorium.
Okay.
And
if only they were here to promote it.
They're coming.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
There's more content. It's all good. How are you? No worries.
We're teasing.
There's all kinds of fantastic. Oh, this one's. Am I having a hot? I'm having a hot toddy. I'm gonna tell you right now. I already know that's happening.
You know, that's my birthday, Patty.
April 8th.
Yeah.
Come sit down. He can bring. Oh, she's like, I love this. I'm in love with this group already.
I know.
They're like, no, we need to bring you more booze. They just keep leaving the room. Like, no, we have more booze for you, Esmeralda.
We already have two beautiful cocktails here. We cannot drink all this booze.
No, you can't.
I have to drive home.
Don't ask questions, John Tatey.
Yeah, that's what I'll tell the cops.
Does anyone have a cold? Because this will take care of that. That will kick your cold's ass right now. I'm telling you, right. Try that.
The hot toddy. Okay.
So we're excited to welcome our guests in studio when they join us. Isn't that's the one of the best hot toddies? I don't even know it's a hot toddy. I'm just saying that it is.
I don't think it is.
It's not. Come on in.
Hey, how are you?
You have to come.
Yes, it's true, because on the bottom of the cocktail you have a honey.
Well, I need you to sit down because you're anywhere you want now. You've brought all the treats. You're absolutely here. I'll take the pusters. I don't know what's happened. This is the weirdest moment of radio for me.
That one is not ready yet. I'm going to check it.
Okay, I won't do anything then. If it's not ready yet, I will leave it right there.
You're getting an abundance of riches.
We're just being bombarded with cocktails.
Rum riches.
I'm trying to remember the last time this happened to me. I think it was a dream. Tell our listeners your name, our cocktail aficionado and bartender extraordinaire tonight.
You. Yeah. My name
Hello.
Is Carlos Cuarta.
Hello, Carlos. Good to see you. Thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about the Rum Lab.
Okay.
it's all good.
Everything is about rum.
There's a microphone right there.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
I'm going to need that. Yes, thank you.
Okay. We will be doing some rum tonight. We're talking about rum, and the Rum Fest is coming in April 8th.
Uh-huh.
Rum. Who don't like rum?
It's Esmeralda, by the way. Esmeralda,
right.
you can see Esmeralda up on the top.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's her birthday on April 8th.
She's very birthday,
now I know what to do.
Yeah, we have plans for April 8th. We will be at
okay.
Rum Fest.
Uh-huh.
Carlos, you are correct. Who doesn't like rum?
Yes.
I love that. Now, what is the warm drink?
Warm drink that you have in a hot toddy. This
is
a colonial. This is a colonial drink, okay?
Mm-hmm. I called it. I said it was a hot toddy.
Yes.
This is the best hot toddy I have had in my entire life.
It's pretty simple. It's hot water, honey, fresh lemon juice,
uh-huh.
And rum.
Yes.
I use for the hot toddy, I blend Diplomático rum and I blend Posset rums, okay? They are two different rum profiles, but they were really good. I think that that's the flavor that you're feeling, like the sweetness of the rum, but you're having some, I would say in the good way, some really nice funkiness around that make it really more interesting.
It is incredible. And also, even with the garnish, and, you know, sometimes people just think, well, that's just, you know, sort of for looks or whatever. Right. But the cloves and the lemon, for me, make a big difference on this one, too.
Yes. As I always say, first step is a presentation. If you see that something looks good, okay, when we talk about food or drink, chances are that it might taste good. Yeah. And talking about the toddy is a colonial drink.
What makes it a colonial drink? And come a little bit closer to your microphone. Thank you.
Let's say from the colonial times, know, in America.
Is that where hot toddy was?
The hot toddy was for kids, for grandma, for dad, for everybody, because hot toddy normally used to be drinked before you go to the bed or early morning.
Yes. Okay?
Especially for those cold days like today.
Or both. Cheers.
Yeah. You feel a little bit cold. You feel a little bit of runny nose. Hey, you got your vitamin C, you got your antibiotic, which is the honey, okay? And on the top of that, to make warm, hot water.
Yes.
And put it together with the rum, boom, you got it.
It kicks your cold. I'm telling you, this. I wasn't even feeling badly. I feel like I should have gotten sick so that I could get better from this.
Really,
that's
really.
That's how I feel about this.
Yeah,
hot time.
It really warms your inside, okay?
Uh-huh. I know, I'm feeling good in places that are special.
Yeah, you ready for Rub Fest?
I think this is better than Rub Fest. This is like a different kind of a rub.
You see what happened when we talk about rum? I mean, like, I will say, I don't discriminate any spirit. I love all of them. Okay, I will say that all of them have a different time during the 24 hours of the day. But when you say rum, people, their eyes shine, you know, be happy, because rum means like a tropical, like a paradise, like a beach, like a party, you know. It's a really nice spirit that is almost produced all over the world, because only it's one continent that doesn't produce rum, Antarctica, obvious reason. But everywhere
I
else,
like, I feel it's a challenge. I feel
All the major continents of the world produce rum.
Yeah, six out of seven, six continents produce rum. Yeah.
To be fair, what is Antarctica? I'm not judging Antarctica. But what do they produce? I'm just curious.
A lot of ice.
Ice.
Yeah. We need ice.
Research,
really,
yes.
Really, really, really important ingredient for cocktails.
Ice.
People think that ice is just...
I'm in love with colors.
No, this is a part of your cocktail. It's one of the ingredients, because you need the water to dilute your cocktail. You know.
Good point. Coming through for Antarctica there. I like. You're sticking up for the bottom continent. So what is the chili cocktail we have here, Carlos?
Okay, the first one, I start with a classic cocktail. Old-fashioned rum. Rum old-fashioned. Yeah, which is pretty simple. Actually, I would say old-fashioned, any kind, is the liquid definition of the word cocktail. Why?
Mm-hmm.
You got spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You got sweetness, which is the sugar.
Right.
Okay.
Syrup, right? Is that what you use?
Yeah, exactly. This one, I use simple syrup. The classic one a long time ago used to be like a sugar cube.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now we can do an expedited service. And then we had the spirit, which is the rum. We got the sugar, okay, which is a simple syrup. We got the spirit. I already mentioned the spirit. I'm sorry. Bitters, okay?
Bitters.
Aromatic bitters.
Mm-hmm.
And water, okay?
Right.
Because you can have a cocktail with ice or without ice, with room temperature, okay, which is it's okay. But this is basically the definition of the word cocktail.
The old-fashioned is the original cocktail. That's why it's called the old-fashioned.
Yeah. I mean, well, the old-fashioned, and good thing that you mentioned that, because old-fashioned means like the old way we're used to be mixing that kind of things, and then you never get a real name, just old-fashioned.
Yeah.
And then I love it. Everything that you do and you follow the rule of the old-fashioned, it worked. Go run got cognac, got whiskey. I mean, it's amazing. Hmm. Ron, it make more fun.
It is. This is fantastic. I have a couple more questions. I have a lot more questions for you, but I have to take a break here right now. We are hanging out with Carlos, who has made us two spectacular drinks. He is part of the rumlab.com. Their fest is coming up. The third annual fest is on April 8th at the Logan Square Auditorium. And you can go to the Midwest Rum Fest. Go to MidwestRumFest.com. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We're all live in the Allstate Showcase studio celebrating RumFest a little bit early because it is on April 8th. It's kind of like we're celebrating RumFest and Esmeralda Leon's birthday a little bit early. Her birthday is also on April 8th. To coincide with RumFest, therumlab.com is celebrating their third annual Midwest Rum Festival, Saturday, April 8th at the Logan Square Auditorium. In studio with us, we have Carlos, who has been sharing his wide and varied knowledge of rum. Can I ask you something? And this is what I wanted to ask you before the news. I feel as though Captain Morgan and Bacardi really dominate the market. When people go into a bar, they say Captain and Coke, or they'll say Bacardi. And you brought in Pusser's Rum. I have not thought of since I was a kid. I don't see that. I mean, I don't know that. Maybe I've seen the bottle at a bar. I don't know to ask for this. But my dad used to go down to Key West with a bunch of his friends who were in the fire department and various other. And I don't know why that has to be part of the story, Esmeralda, but that's just the way I remember all the firefighters and my dad renting a sailboat going through the Florida Keys. And they would always come back with rum, with Pusser's Rum and Grand Marnier were the two things he would always come back with.
Yeah, two good products. Pusser's Rum, but. Pusser Rum is on the market still for a long time. Really, really well used, especially for tropical antique cocktails.
But when you go into a bar, you don't know to order Pusser's Rum or any of the other ones. People just say rum, and they're not familiar. Like that, because it seems as though tequila and whiskey all have their name brands.
Yes, well, some brands, they already are well possessed on the market. And, uh-huh. You know, it's like... They really pair with a soda, and then the people order that way.
Right.
And they systematically, I will say, mention the brand because the marketing was a really well done marketing. good rums on the market beyond those two that you just mentioned. They are good rums, okay, mm-hmm. but also I know not many people know because. They were more focused in when we talk about Pusser's, Pusser Rum.
That's Pusser's, by the way, P-U-S-S-E-R-S.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And good thing because Pusser Rum is it laid the slang on the Navy or the British Navy for the person that was in charge of the supplies.
Okay.
And the Pusser, and they named the rum Pusser's.
Excellent.
Yes.
I actually have a question. What is a good... Well, okay, so there's the two different types, right?
Mm-hmm.
The white and the darker rum?
No, it goes beyond.
See? We don't know anything about it. I know.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering, what is a good mixer other than Coke? Because it's what you always get when you go to a bar, it's rum and Coke.
Well, this is an easy one. This is what we call a highball. You know, you have the spirit, and you put your soda, or you put your... tonic or your club soda, but you have a lot of mixers lately.
Right, because she's saying like when you think of like vodka and cranberry juice or vodka and orange juice or whiskey and Coke.
Exactly, that is where I'm going.
Yes, sorry.
No problem.
I got excited. I'm like, tell me the good stuff.
Yeah, ginger beer.
Oh,
ginger beer really well used for a lot of highballs or simple cocktails. And if we talk about Darren Stormy is rum.
Have you had Dark and Stormy, Esmeralda?
Darren Stormy. No, yes. When it's well done, it's amazing.
Yes.
Darren Stormy and is that rum, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A little hint of lime juice and top it up with ginger beer. And it's great, refreshing. You got everything, your vitamin C too.
And nice. I like that he always highlights the antioxidants, the vitamins,
exactly,
the health value.
We will not get scurvy.
No.
And good thing that you mentioned that, because rum, at the same time that lime, when we talk about the pirates and all those the lime and rum used to be part of the daily ratio.
Uh-huh.
We don't have a closed caption here, right?
A what?
A closed caption.
Because of the
pronunciation.
My mother's from Mexico. I'm tracking.
Ah, okay, perfect. No problem.
The rations, yes. Yeah. Esmeralda, also tracking.
Yeah,
yes.
The daily.
You and I are all in. He's worried. We're fine.
Yeah. Every day they have a rum and lime, mm-hmm, yeah, to prevent the scurvy.
Okay, so and
it really worked. It really worked.
And that was that's why they call them limeys too, isn't it? The way they call the British limeys was when they would go out to sea, they would bring the limes with. No.
Yeah, and the grog. The grog used to be another of those mm-hmm, navy
names.
Exactly.
Now, where are you from originally, Carlos?
From the South Side. Can you pick up my accent?
Absolutely, I can pick up your. Yeah, the South Side's going.
South
Canary,
America.
Canaryville.
The South Side, South America.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, where are you from originally?
Venezuela.
Venezuela?
Yes.
And what brought you to Chicago?
Uptown.
Uptown. it was calling your name.
Okay.
So you have been living in Chicago, in the United States, for 16 years.
Yeah, 16 years living here in this city. It's a great, great city. I travel a lot. And no city like Chicago, being honest to you. I mean, like the people, the city. It's everything, the lake, mm-hmm, the way how the city was laid out. I mean, it's an amazing city.
And you were mentioning, too, off the air that, you know, bartending is a career. It's a profession that takes a lifetime of learning.
Yes, absolutely.
Why is that?
I will say that bartending could be the first step of a long career into the spirit industry. Mm-hmm. Because today, going through a lot of education, going through a lot of experience, preparing yourself, you can move on, being representing brands, being as a brand ambassador, or being the head mixologist for a big distributor. Okay, then you take care of different restaurants or different clients. You educate people. That is, to me, the best marketing ever is education. And you can be also a big presenter. You can do a lot of conference about cocktail spirits. You know, it's like it's really endless, the amount of opportunities that you can find in this industry. And it's a real career. I mean, like me, it's a lot of people that we make our pennies bartending or working with brands or doing events or doing also consulting to the restaurants.
And you that's the business side of it, the career side of it. But I get the sense that you really enjoy finding that sort of that mix, that blend, that sort of chemical balance when it comes to the different flavors. Because I've never had Esmeralda, have you ever had nutmeg sprinkled on a cocktail besides eggnog?
No.
I'm saying. This is the last one that you gave me. We haven't even talked about this one
okay,
yet.
We are having the painkiller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, seriously, that's the name.
I'm like, oh, that could be trouble for me then. The painkiller, okay.
No, it's a painkiller, which is a cocktail that is a trademark of Posset Rum.
Okay.
Okay. It's a cocktail with a Posset Rum, also orange.
Orange
juice.
Really?
Yeah, orange juice. Everything fresh.
But very. Oh, it's fresh. That's why it doesn't.
Yeah,
taste.
It's fresh, and it's a small amount, just to balance out the acidity of the pineapple. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the fourth ingredient is a coconut cream.
I know you were going to like 6 a.m., 5 a.m., but you.
That sounds heavenly.
Oh my!
No, you are going to go. No problem. With no problems, you know.
You know what? I will keep one chilled down here for you. I'll bring it up when I'm done and put it in the freezer for you if you want till the end of your shift.
That sounds very good.
Okay, then.
Well, this is the difference. When I work,
yes,
I am allowed to drink.
You're not allowed to drink?
No, I am.
You are.
You have to taste the cocktails, right?
Absolutely.
Well, she makes sure they're correct.
And Esmeralda works longer than I do.
Okay.
She's on longer, and it's not, you know, the hours get longer.
Yeah, you have to, I mean, like, when you drink, you have to do it responsibly. There's no way that you will be just drink and have fun and go crazy. No, that's not the right way.
So the painkiller is, it's fresh orange juice.
Fresh orange juice, fresh pineapple juice.
Yeah. He's not playing. There's no sour mix in this man's collection ever. I can tell.
Yeah. I can do a fresh one, but you know this one. They have, as I told you, orange, fresh orange juice, coconut cream, mm-hmm. and fresh pineapple juice, and Pozzeron. And on the top is nutmeg. Okay, just fresh grated. Okay,
it's not Esmeralda. It's not just like sprinkled nutmeg. It's fresh ground. I'll take a picture.
Carrying the nutmeg with you?
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
He set up a lab in the green room. just come down and look at it. I'll post a picture of it. But I've never seen anything like this. Seriously.
Yeah.
I have to recommend, if I could, you have to come back and do Ro Khan's show because he has a Carnarvon wagon, and I think that they would enjoy your treats tremendously. Do you mind, Carlos, hanging out for another segment? I have to take a quick commercial here.
No problem.
I want to find out more about Rumfest when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining us is Carlos, who has made some extraordinary cocktails for us. And he was I was taking a selfie, and he said, I'm very good at my selfies, Esmeralda.
Yeah, man, like so far we got like about six or eight. I don't know. I am a tall guy, but her arm is really, really long.
No, it's not that. It's how you hold the phone.
Okay.
I'm going to show you. And I still need to do a video of this for folks, but my niece is a photographer, and she showed me how to do this. It's called the claw. And so if you take your phone and you hold your pointer finger on the top right there, pinky finger on the bottom, your two other fingers brace it on the back right there like that, and then you use your thumb as the trigger finger to take the photo. So that's why it's called the claw. And you can I can do this. It makes everything so much easier. Here, watch right there. I can do it even while we're talking.
It's not about how long you are. It's about the technique, right?
It's not about you. Yes, it's much more about the technique than it is about the size.
Okay, yeah. Rum.
I don't know. Back to rum. We were talking about the fact that so many other spirits are very well known. I can prattle off a dozen vodka names, and not just because I enjoy it, but that's really the marketing, as you mentioned. Bacardi and Captain Morgan are the two that people know at the bars. Do you know any others, Esmeralda?
It's got an octopus on it.
Uh-huh. I don't know what you're talking about. What's got an octopus on it, Carlos?
This is a spicy rum. It's like an old style of jug, right?
Like a jug?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Cranker.
There you go.
Cranker's rum?
Kraken. Kraken.
Kraken rum. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's the three that we have that took us a moment of description to get there, right?
Because
I can tell you the Bacardi label. I can tell you about the Captain Morgan brown bottle, right, with the beach scene on it.
Yeah, and the marketing is so effective. But it's a lot of good runs from all over the world.
And how
besides these two brands and their portfolio, we talk about Bacardi, it really extends when we go to a really well-aged rums, too. You know what I mean? Like,
Because rum is not as sharp and woodsy as maybe a whiskey or a bourbon.
You're right, but sometimes it depends on the style of the rum, because the rum is not just a lineal style. You have a rum from... You have a rum with different profiles, and sometimes it's something to do with the fermentation process, with the distillation process, with the terroir from the area where it was made, you know.
How does the temperature affects the production of... It's sugar cane. Is that what
yes,
rum is
yes. When we talk about sugar cane and you have a really nice weather, area like the Caribbean and the north of Venezuela, my country, where we have a really great Rums, like today.
Yes, you put that in the painkiller. Is that what you said? No, in the old fashioned.
The old fashioned, yeah, right. Like a diplomatico rum.
Diplomatico.
Okay. Yeah, diplomatico, exactly. But yes, the temperature for the sugar cane is something that affects the sugar content. Okay, then normally that's the reason because you are going to see sugar rum being produced in a tropical country. Doesn't matter. We're talking about the west. Or the east side of the earth.
What now at the festival? This is the third annual Midwest Rum Festival, which is on Saturday, April 8th.
Yes,
people are going to be able to taste. And what are the rums out of California? I you mentioned that all the continents make it, and I was assuming partly in Latin America where there are warmer climates. But of course, we have many states in the United States that are.
Yeah, we have a Florida. We have a California. We have also rum from the Carolinas.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense.
Yes, I love that rum because it's really colonial style.
Okay.
Same way.
And what makes something a colonial style rum?
The molasses, the type of molasses that you use, and it's a little bit more intense.
Okay.
To know a little bit or to really understand the styles or the taste of the rum, as I always say, when something is well done, it's no question. It's well done. It tastes different. This is the big word. The big word with me, different. Okay, because you never ever can play with your palate. Your palate will tell you what is something that is has something weird. Then is when you have to be really concerned. Okay,
when something's weird, what is something weird? Like sharp or
yeah, super char, super alcohol.
Okay, is something, if it burns,
exactly. I mean, like. Not the bad, not the, it's a good burn, you know, when you're testing your rum in your mouth, you feel a little bit of heat.
Yeah, warmth, yes, warmth is one thing, but like exactly. That sting is.
No, exactly. To be on fire, it's a no-no.
It's a no-no.
Exactly. No, it's a no-no.
There are rum no-nos, Esmeralda.
Yeah, but we have also rums that they are overproof, that they are, they have a use in the cocktail world, okay?
Sure.
And, also, those high-proof ones also are used at the kitchen, you know, for desserts and for some dishes, too.
Have you participated in the Rum Fest before?
Yes.
And tell us, what is it like? What do people experience?
Well, you know, it's really, really interesting because they have two segments. They have the industry that opened 1 hour before the show start to the aficionados, and then you
are Esmeralda, I think we're aficionados. I think that we can be there the hour before. what do we need for the aficionado category?
Yeah, I don't remember. I think that you paid $35 for that one.
Okay,
which is a really really good price for all the experience that you are going to be exposed.
Oh, and you can network with some of the brand reps.
Yeah, I mean, like, you are going to have the difference in between the industry, which is the first hour, is like you are going to get a little bit more intimate, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because
and then the way how they approach, open and all the people come in.
Yeah. No, they approach the more open, I would say in this way. They really had the session for the industry where they deliver big information to the people, because it's a lot of decision makers from the industry that go into the show. Then the next hour, it's going to be open to the aficionado, but everybody have access to all the different vendors, okay? That happen at the first hour too. And also they have like a couple of educational sessions, okay?
And this is a great way to learn more about rum, because as I was mentioning, we only know two and kind of three.
Yes. Rum is huge. If we talk about distilleries, No brands. Distillery, I think that around the world is like about 1,500 distilleries. Yeah, they are devoted to distilled rum.
Well, to find out more, you can go to the rumlab.com. And again, the festival is on April 8th at the Logan Square Auditorium, which is at 2539 North Kedzie Boulevard, right here in Chicago. And by the way, I did not realize that the U.S. was such an important country in the rum industry. So we thank you, Carlos, for enlightening us.
No, it was. I mean, like, as I say, rum used to be big in America, even before the whiskey time.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, like...
Oh, sure. You were mentioning about President Washington off here.
Yeah, President Washington want to have a barrel of Barbados rum next to him.
So
at the inauguration.
Well, come drink like President Washington and enjoy the Rum Lab's third annual Midwest Rum Festival on April 8th in Logan Square. Go to therumlab.com. Thank you so much, Carlos, for joining us tonight for these wonderful cocktails.
Thank you.
You've got to come and do the Carnarvon Wagon for Rocon. I'm just saying. That's got to happen.
All right. Yes, let me know.
Absolutely. More after this on 720.
Thank you, Patty.
Oh, my pleasure, Carlos. More after this in just a moment. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. My husband's birthday last year was hard for me because I was trying to figure out what to buy him. And I was, you know, I went online and you Google good gifts for husband and, you know, dad gifts and things like that. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to buy him an Amazon Echo. And when that arrived, I showed it to my 13-year-old son, Griffin, and he freaked out. He was like, don't bring that in the house. It's listening all the time. I don't want that anywhere. Daddy's not going to like it either. And so I wrapped it anyway, despite Griffin's warnings and admonitions. And I said, you know what? Let's see what Daddy thinks. And my husband, Steve, agreed. He did not want it in the house. And according to our guests, maybe my husband and my son have a point. Joining us is Jane Barat, who is a documentary filmmaker. He's a speaker and author of the groundbreaking nonfiction book, Our Final Invention, Artificial Intelligence and the End of the Human Era. So, James, are my husband and son correct in this?
Yeah.
Echo listening? Yes?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been listening. And I think, I wouldn't put them in my house. We know that Google has played fast and loose with our privacy for years. You know, they Google, Amazon, these companies sell our data. Selling data is a $3 billion a year industry. And so you're inviting them into your home and putting a microphone directly into their storage. So they can take all your words and parse through them and sell your information to data marketers.
Because they do target you when it comes to advertising. You can see that on Facebook. If you are searching for something on Amazon, all of a sudden whatever you were searching for on Amazon pops up in your news thread on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. It follows you around. And that's, you know, we've just got to be wary where the data goes. It doesn't, if you've got Amazon Echo or Google Home in your house, the data doesn't stay in your house. It goes to the cloud, it goes to their servers. Well, and they can, and you give them permission to sell it, you know, when you sign on to their services.
And people will say there are so many, there are so many great assets to having artificial intelligence in your home, makes things easier. Are there precautions to take if you have Echo?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are. You know, Echo, Home, these are devices that are turned on by wake words. Like you have to say, okay, Google, or okay, Alexa. And there's some, like I use Siri all the time for driving directions. Just use common sense, and you can also control the privacy through the settings.
Okay.
You control your privacy through the settings on these devices.
So will it ask you?
You can take common sense steps to guard your privacy.
But in the privacy settings, are one of those elements? Perhaps don't share my information.
You know, that's yes. That probably is something you can. Target, but there's just no guarantee.
Right, it's not foolproof. It's just you're just clicking checking a box, but not necessarily protecting yourself.
That's right. You know, the Google car that used to go around and take images of streets and still does. Years ago, it would also take data from your wireless transmission in your house and your local area network information. So it sucked up all that data.
What?
They were sued in Europe for that. It was getting local passwords. It was getting it was just hoovering up a lot of data from the neighborhood when it was driving through. Allegedly, they've stopped that, but several European countries sued them to stop that. So I wouldn't trust them very far because here's what will happen eventually. If you're talking about your medical issues with your Amazon Echo or with your Google Home, if you're ordering, if you're doing queries about medical conditions or ordering a lot of medicine, you may find yourself being turned down for health insurance someday.
Because it's been collected and sold to whatever companies are out there that are collecting that data.
Exactly. If you may find yourself being turned down for a mortgage. If you're constantly asking queries about bankruptcy or refinancing.
Oh.
So this data does not stay in your house. And these companies have a long history of collecting data and abusing our privacy. So we do have to be really wary.
Okay, those are the scary elements. We're going to talk about more scary things because it gets worse from here. And that's so you've mentioned finances and health as things to be cautious about when you are searching. Maybe something hurts and you wonder if you have cancer, and then that leads you towards the information being gathered and insurance companies going, oh, there's someone who is at risk, and whether or not you're Googling how do I get out of bankruptcy or how bad is that for my future. How about if you're just searching for like entertainment? Let's say you really want to find out what the next movie that Natalie Portman's making. That seems innocuous.
That is innocuous. I think that's innocuous. I don't want to be too alarmist, but you just have to. We're opening the book on our lives when we bring these devices into your home. So I think your husband's absolutely right to be very, very careful about that.
Oh, and it's such a, I would say my son even more so. I mean, he was downright angry with me because he has talked a lot. He's gotten into arguments with his classmates. And we are raising a generation of kids who are more than willing to just hand it over, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, and not only that, these devices are getting smarter and smarter. I mean, there was a lawsuit recently about a doll called My Friend Kayla. Mm-hmm. And Kayla would ask children a lot of questions about their personal lives, about their parents' telephone numbers, about what they liked and didn't like. And all that data was being sent to the cloud and then sold to marketers. So the same, you pointed out a really good example. The ads that follow you around on the internet. I ordered a pair of boots. I think it was 6 weeks ago. These boot ads are still following me around.
Right.
That stuff that's valuable information for people.
Sure,
so
because
they're going to buy and sell it
because they already know that you're inclined or that you're interested in that product. So they see you as an easy target.
They also get revenue if you respond to an ad that's following you around. The company that posted that ad gets what's called click through revenue. So they get money. They get a little ka-ching when you follow through on that advertisement. So the data that's going into your Amazon Echo or your Google Home is part of that big commercial equation.
So they're collecting all of our information. We try to take as many precautions at my house as possible, and then I realize I take all these photos, and that goes into the cloud. And my son Griffin, they give you these sort of categories of here's your story, and here are these faces, here's all the photos with these faces. And I realize even though I've been safe and not posted my kids' pictures on Facebook or on Instagram, it's already kind of accessible to Google. Not kind of, it absolutely is.
It absolutely is, and Google and Facebook are using there's some really good uses for this information. They're taking all those pictures of faces, and they're using them to create face recognition technology and to match faces to names, and that improves the technology. Massive amounts of data that you're entering, massive numbers of pictures, improves the computer's ability to recognize faces and to put names to faces. But that's also a gigantic database that companies can use to target you for marketing individually. It's also a giant database that the government can use to keep tabs on where everybody is, because these cameras are everywhere, as you know.
Right.
There's surveillance systems everywhere. In the UK, they've been doing this for years. In the Kingdom, they've been matching face recognition technology with big databases of faces and names. So ultimately, what you get is a 24/7 surveillance state. So the government and businesses know where you are and what you're doing all the time. So we have to ask ourselves, is that the future we want?
Is it a future we can prevent at this point? Has it already been a tipping point that it's gotten away from us?
Well, that's the nature of the technology. You know, our innovation runs way ahead of our stewardship. You know, we always make mistakes and then we patch it up later. Yeah, I think we've gone pretty far. I mean, when we've got it's kind of funny when we've got this program that everyone uses, or a service called Facebook that's free, and it's called Facebook, so it's not hiding what it's doing. And we all throw our pictures up there, and then we're surprised when the government knows what we look like, and when, you know, businesses target us for ads when they see our face.
Well, people will say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about. But that's not always the case.
Well, it's not. That's right, and it's not. You do have something to worry about if you don't want your financial or health, your personal life, intimately known to everyone.
And we should probably all want to protect that.
We all want to protect something. We all want to protect some information about ourselves, and that's just normal, and that's prudent. I don't put my kids on the internet. I just don't put their faces on the internet.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't think there's somebody out there that's collecting faces, collecting pictures of children. There's somebody that wants to market to my kids.
Right. We are talking to James Barrett. He's a documentary filmmaker. He's a speaker and author of the groundbreaking nonfiction book, Our Final Invention, Artificial Intelligence and the End of the Human Era. If you would hang on the line with us for another segment, we can go into even more scary stuff. We've been talking about collecting information. Now let's see how someone can hack your car and drive you off a cliff. More after this on 720 WGN.
This is Brian Wickert, owner of Low Overhead Acunet Mortgage, with a mortgage rate alert. The odds of the Federal Reserve hiking rates another 0.25% at their March 15th meeting are now up to 93%. That means anyone with a home equity line of credit will see their rate jump for the second time in just a few months. So if you have a balance on your home equity line of credit, or you've been just putting off that refinance, this is your official wake-up call. The hot purchase market also has home values rising, and that opens up the opportunity to get rid of your PMI or FHA mortgage insurance, or take some cash out. You know, most homeowners still just go back to their bank or wherever they have their mortgage now, but that can be a big mistake because Acunet's closing costs are typically $1,000 to $3,000 less than the banks and big online lenders for the same rate. Find out how much you can save today by clicking on the blue button at Acunet.com before Janet Yellen turns the rate dial up another notch. That's ACCUNET.com.
Acunet Mortgage is an equal housing lender and Illinois residential mortgage licensee, NMLS ID 255368, 13000 West Silver Spring Drive, Low Overhead, Butler, Wisconsin 53007.
Few moments bring you joy like going to the mailbox after you've done your taxes, pulling it open, reaching in, discarding the junk mail, and then pulling out that item you've been waiting so... What? Someone already filed for my return? It sounds like a horror story, but it's a reality. Identity thieves can use your personal information to file for your refund or commit other forms of ID theft. In fact, the IRS identified approximately $4.1 billion in suspected identity theft tax refund fraud in 2016. Thankfully, there's LifeLock. When you're a member, you have access to a team of U.S.-based specialists who know the steps to take and the calls to make to fix identity issues, whether it happens during tax season or any other time. Join now and get 10% off. Head to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code LIFELOCK. That's promo code LIFELOCK. LifeLock.
New music. Eclectic music. Experimental music. Chicago music.
Chicago music.
Seeing a pattern here?
Yeah. Sound Sessions on Demand on WGN Plus. We are the voice of Chicago music.
Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, wondering how many cameras. Well, I know that there are four cameras on me right now. You can all watch me on WGNRadio.com. I don't hide myself. I have no shame, I would say. There's a lot of photos of me on Facebook. I document pretty much everything. I'm in the limelight, somewhat. I mean, I'm not a celebrity, but I share a lot of stuff. I'm open. My husband and my son are very protective of their privacy, and I try to respect that. And we've been talking with James Barrett, who's a documentary filmmaker, and he's written the book Our Final Invention, Artificial Intelligence and the End of the Human Era. Let's live there for a moment. What do you mean by the end of the human era?
Well, my book is about the dual nature of artificial intelligence, and that means artificial intelligence offers great rewards, but also great peril. And as Stephen Hawking said, in the short term, we have to be concerned about who controls the AI. In the long term, we have to be concerned about, can the AI be controlled at all?
Right.
And, and Stephen Hawking has talked about this, the physicist Stephen Hawking has talked about this himself, that we could lose control of artificial intelligence and gradually have it take over our lives. So that's the end of the human error part of that.
Well, and I have a friend who's fascinated by the idea of singularity, and a lot of people maybe haven't heard of that. Can you explain to people what singularity is?
Sure. The concept of singularity is basically the time that comes when we share the planet with smarter than human machines. As everyone knows, we are in an intelligence race right now. So a lot of companies are trying to develop machines that are as smart and then smarter than humans in a general sense. And these are companies like Amazon, Google, Baidu in China, IBM. They're trying to create machines that are as smart as people. And then shortly after that, we'll have machines that are smarter than people. And the question is, will we be able to control them? So the whole nature of the singularity is when the time comes that we share the planet, that we've created smarter than human machines, will it be a time of utopia? Will these machines solve all our problems, or will it be a time of danger?
And one of the things, it's Dr. Charles Turk, who's a friend of the show. He's talked about being able to basically upload your memories and live in perpetuity through a machine.
Well, that's a great idea. It's a very utopian idea. Ray Kurzweil, who's a great inventor, he's won the Thomas Edison Award, now is working for Google, working on their brain project. He wants to upload, he wants to upload his brain into a computer and then live virtually forever.
Right.
It's an interesting idea. What's happening is our interface with the computer is not developing as rapidly as the computer's intelligence is developing. So it's not clear if we're going to meld with computers and have them enhance our brains, or if the computers are simply going to run away in a kind of intelligence explosion.
Okay, so the biggest factor right now is, until machines and robots are smarter than we are, is that humans are now controlling that in so many different aspects, so many different companies, so many different private sectors, nefarious individuals who want to do harm, whether it's by government or just individuals. Talk to us a little bit about, part of this I was reading is how robots can perhaps mix toxic substances with food or drinks. Maybe small robots can start fires in your home. Elements like that you discuss in various ways.
Boy, it does sound pretty scary, doesn't it? I'm going to gather up my robots and hide them or take their batteries out.
Yes.
There's a concern right now, generally, with the Internet of Things. Now, the Internet of Things is where everything in your house is connected to the Internet, and a lot of it is given some intelligence. So the way we're headed with the Internet of Things is everything that's electrified will be cognitized, and that means intelligence will be added to anything that's currently electric. The danger is, of course, that someone could hack into your house and change the temperature, change the settings on all your appliances. Hackers have hacked into cars. Our cars are now all, you can communicate with many of our cars wirelessly, and they can be hacked. And there's some concern that the robots of the future, the household robots, will be hackable and could be turned against us by bad guys. That's still a little bit of a science fiction idea right now.
A little bit, but enough for it to be significant, I think.
Well, we've got to watch these things. I have a hard time connecting everything in my home to the Internet, just because, again, there's that data question.
Right.
Do I want hackers to know when I'm not home?
Right.
Do I want them to know when I turn my heating down and up? I don't think I want that information out there. The more we centralize that information, the easier it is for the hackers to get in and gather a lot of it. So it's not just they're hacking into the cloud, and they're not just which is just basically a large data center. They're not necessarily hacking to your individual homes, but the cloud is like it's where all our information is gathered. So we've all seen this happen before. That information includes your credit card information, your driver's license information. That opens us up to identity theft. So every time we connect a new device to the internet, we open our door a little bit more to people that want to steal from us.
Ugh. And are there? I'm reading that there is also a move to have robotic soldiers. That sounds like something out of a movie, and yet it doesn't seem.
Well, that's unfortunately that's true. Stephen Hawking said it best when he said. As I mentioned a minute ago, in the short term, we have to worry about who controls the AI. Right now, there's a race going on to create autonomous battlefield robots and drones. And these are battlefield robots and drones that kill people without a human in the loop. So they without a human in that decision-making loop. And so we'll create these sort of automatic killing machines. This isn't science fiction. This is happening right now. These machines are in the lab. They've got drone systems now where you can. The theory is, and I'm fairly certain this is factual, that you can give a drone enough data about an individual, not somebody in the United States, but somebody in Central Asia who the intelligence agencies want to take out, and these drones can track them down without a human even being involved.
And that might sound appealing to people because we don't put our soldiers in harm's way, but
right.
at the same time, we're taking out what we train soldiers to do, which is to make a decision based on their intelligence, their experience. And if you just take out all, and there is an element of emotion and, you know, the respect for human life. And if you remove that and you just have a robot doing that, that sounds and again, we talked about hacking. There, you know, who's to say at some point we can't hack the soldiers?
That's exactly right. There's a big problem of culpability there. Like if your robot soldier goes crazy and kills a bunch of civilians, then who's to blame? Is it the software, the guy that wrote the software? Is it the guy that made the robot? Or is it the battalion commander?
Right.
So until we establish those things, we better not be making these tools that act that autonomously. And you're absolutely right. We have to come back down to our personal volition and the whole nature of free will. We can't give this much responsibility to machines.
Before we let you go, and I thank you so much for all your time tonight and staying up so late.
Sure.
Again, I asked you earlier, what are the steps we can take? I mean, do we speak out to our lawmakers and say, please be sure that you're making the right choice? What are the elements?
That's an excellent question. I wrote Our Final Invention, my book, to try to get these issues out to the public, because I think the first thing we have to do is everybody needs to be aware, because these issues don't just impact the technologists or wealthy people or any part of our population. They affect everybody. And there's a continuum of issues that technology impacts, going all the way from our privacy to robot soldiers to our safety. So we just need to, the first thing we need to do is get up to speed on issues of artificial intelligence and automation. I mean, there's a whole other part of this we haven't gone into about jobs and AI and automation taking jobs. The best thing we can do is be aware so that when policy issues come up, we can vote in a smart way.
Well, thank you so much for all the information. And everyone can go to his website. That's jamesbarrett.com, jamesbarrett.com, and wolfmanproductions.com/James-Barrett. Thank you so much, sir. Is there any other site you want to direct people? I know that your book is Our Final Invention, which is available on various websites.
I think that's a good start. I think that naturally I'd say that, of course. I think that's a great starting place, Patty, to start getting acclimated about the both the good and the bad parts of this technological revolution we're going through.
Well, I look forward to having you on the show again. I'm going to have so many more questions because I will play this for my husband and my son listen to the podcast. So they are going to be thrilled that we covered this. And, of course, I told you so. Thank you so much.
Sure thing. It was my pleasure.
Excellent. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you again soon.
GN.
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm trying to figure out what to talk about next because it's a little terrifying, Esmeralda. I don't know how you felt about your life being surrendered to technology and artificial intelligence.
I've accepted our new overlords
of artificial intelligence.
I'm just going to go with the flow. It's like, hey, cool, guys.
Let me know how that turns out, everyone.
As long as, you know, I mean, food can be delivered to me and they... The AI treats me well.
But, you know,
I'm good.
I have a couple of fears in life, and one of them is being wrongfully convicted of something. And, you know, the more you kind of give over to your information, it's always there's a possibility of things being used against you that aren't necessarily, you know, the source of that crime or that you, I don't know why. That's one of
my fears.
That's
an interesting fear. Do you mean like a la all those conspiracy things?
A Lifetime movie for women.
Right. Just don't accept bags from,
yes,
from good looking strange men.
That's a good point.
Don't hang out with good looking strange men in mm-hmm. foreign countries because yeah. they will put drugs in your bag and then you'll go to prison.
Every single time.
Yep.
They will do. We watch a lot of the Orange is the New Black, haven't we? And the other, what was the movie with, was it Claire Danes?
Yes.
Yeah, that was
and they were in
a Thai prison.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. See, you and I have similar, that's why, that's part of why I have the fears, I guess. I have a lot of fears, but I don't know. I think that being informed, though, can be helpful. It's one thing.
Oh, completely.
Because I obviously, I share a lot online. And, you know, I fill out information on different websites. I have like 6 or 7 email accounts. And one of them is entirely devoted to registering on websites, whether I'm shopping for something or advertising. And, you know, subscribe here.
And that's very smart.
Yeah, I just have one for
that. Yeah, because it doesn't clog up. You don't get all the spam and everything. It just goes to the one. That's smart.
Well, and then, but then, you know, you open 4 more and you can't remember any of your passwords.
Oh, yeah. And then I'm the dummy that all my passwords are the same. Except, like, just a couple numbers change or things like that, but they really don't.
Add some punctuation.
Yeah.
Some caps.
And I'm like, I outsmarted them. It's like, no.
Well, and I think until a few years ago, I was like, well, if they steal my stuff, good luck. Cause
yeah, that too. I'm like, joke's on you guys. Yeah. I don't have any money.
Good. That's how I feel this year about the IRS, by the way. Like, come after me. Bring it. Cause what are you gonna do? I got nothing. You can go through all my records. I got nothing. And by the way, I'm not saying that because of what happened earlier. Rachel, did you hear anything about the Rachel Maddow show?
Oh, with the yeah,
so stupid.
The tweet was funny though. She's like, "We have the tax forms,
yeah."
And then in parentheses, seriously, it's like
there was a big wah wah wah. She's very much like Greg Giraldo, not Greg Giraldo, Geraldo Rivera. Wow, Greg Giraldo was a friend of mine. Why did I mix up those names?
Very similar sounding.
Yeah, Geraldo Rivera, when he was in the tunnels, you know, and there was all
right.
the exposition and the conversation.
Yeah, Al Capone's storage facility.
Yeah, his secret hiding space.
That had nothing.
We all were excited because we thought we were like treasure hunting with Geraldo Rivera, and it was a Coke bottle. In a
I mean, hey, sometimes maybe that Coke bottle was very special to Al Capone.
And that was, yeah, it's a moment to be treasured in
right.
television history, more so than what happened tonight on MSNBC. It was a little bit, and I felt bad for people who got their hopes up. I was texting friends of mine. I'm like, she better have something because this is a mess already.
Yeah, I had seen the tweets and everything and that she was going to. Mm-hmm. Show the tax returns. But I was thinking, I'm like, if this was a big thing,
yes,
then it would have been in more places.
Yeah, we would have known already.
Not just her.
Uh-huh. And the Daily Beast had already printed something up. The White House had released information saying, yep, that's our tax returns. Whatever. Good luck with that.
Right. And I think mm-hmm. I was reading in my Facebook, just people commenting on it. And someone had said, it doesn't show the whole story.
No, it doesn't, because it shows his income, which was $150 million in 2005, and that he paid about $38 million. There's a little bit of whether or not it was like $36.5 million plus another $1.5 million based on his income with earned income with Melania. But where did the income come from?
Right, that's what people were asking. Where is this stuff? Where is this coming from? What are the
right.
The like, ways you're getting this money, that's what we want to know.
And $105 million, I think, or somewhere around there that was written off. And was that, you know, the continuation of that the 1990s tax forms where he kind of gets a free go of 20 years of taxes because he had such big losses? Or the, yeah.
And then is that how they've all done it? They just pick a random year and go, here you go.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is who leaked it. You know, I would think if there's nothing to see, and here's it's a shiny object, right? You're like, here, go play with that for a while, and we're like your cat with catnip,
right?
Just batting that around for a little bit, and like I am right now. I was going to talk about Chicago slang instead of that. 312-981-7200. Let's play some Chicago slang. Here, I'll give you an example of a quiz for, cause only 1 in 50 Chicago locals can ace the Chicago slang. By the way, I don't know if I have the answers. So I don't know if this is very good,
Aren't you from Chicago?
Brad? I am from Chicago. I'm gonna give my, well, I can give the, right? I'm gonna give the answers. I will be the judge as to whether or not you get it right. Is that what you're saying?
I would think you would know.
I do know all these.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you know what? I can't give any of the these answers because there's about 10 of these. 312-981-7200 if you want to. Yeah, I actually do know all the answers to all of these.
See, you're the answer key.
312-981-7200. Only 1 in 50 Chicago locals can ace our slang challenge. Can you? 312-981-7200. We have a Lou Melnize gift card on the line if you can ace this quiz. More to this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We have a slang challenge. These are Chicago words, and we want to know if you know what they mean. Jay is playing for a Luminize gift card. Hey, Jay, how are you doing?
Excellent. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Now, you live in the 847, and you are confident that you know Chicago slang.
Yes, I do.
All right. Here we go. The first question is the word pop. Is that in reference to what do you? I'm going to go ahead and ask. I'm not going to give you the choices. What does pop refer to?
That's what you drink.
There you go. Ding ding ding. I have a bell. I'm going to find a bell for you. Ding 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 ding. I feel like here we go. I found my bell. Hold on. Excellent. Okay. What are tips and links? Yes.
Oh wow.
I'll give you. I will give you choices if you want them. You can ask for help.
All right, I'm going to have to ask for help on that one.
Okay, here are your three choices.
It's sausage, but I'm not sure.
A salad most people avoid, a way to service your waitress, or a type of barbecue.
I'll go with C, type of barbecue.
This one's going to be easy. Metra, a route that gets you home quickly, a tourist who wants to explore the city, a pricey bus and train fare payment system.
Let's go with C with that one also.
It's just, I don't know if pricey is fair, but it's pricier than your CTA, than your regular L. Chicago Mix.
Chicago Mix is popcorn.
That is your caramel and cheddar cheese popcorn. See, you don't even need your options here. I love that. What is LSD in Chicago speak?
Oh, that's the drive.
The what drive? LSD?
Lakeshore Drive.
Don't make me finish your sentences. I love that. What's jardinera?
What you put on beef. Pepper.
I love it. What you put on beef. He's like, what are you being ridiculous for? You know, have you traveled and asked for jardinera anywhere else in the country?
You can't get it. It's impossible.
It is.
It's
infuriating. And here's the thing, Jay. They will have a bottle that says jardinera. It's not jardinera. It's like a
oil and vinegar.
Yes! I'm sorry. I almost fell out of my chair. It's exactly. It's gross. It's disgusting. They've bastardized it. Okay. Here's your next. You know what? I'm already going to give you a gift card because we have another listener on the line. You have already won because you've gotten the first half of the quiz correct.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jay. LouMalnati's.com for some of the best pizza in the Chicagoland area. That was Jay. He's won the first half of the contest. I don't want to make Susan wait too long. She's calling from Huntley. Hi, Susan. How are you doing? Hey, Peachy, how are you doing? All right. Now, let's see if you can get these, all right? Do you want the options when I ask you?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so wet or dry? Is that a question you always get about the weather? A question about how you'd like your Italian beef? Or a question the L Train Monitor always asks?
The weather?
It's not the weather. I'm sorry, Peachy.
I was thinking the sandwich.
I know, the sandwich. So wet or dry means, do you want your Italian beef dipped? Do you want to get it dipped? That's what they ask. You were right about
pillows.
That's right. All right, one more question, all right? I got another one for you. Which do you wear, track shoes, gym shoes, or tennis shoes?
Gym shoes.
Excellent. You got it. All right, we have another one then. Continue the next round. If you want $10, you might ask for what? A sawbuck? 100 dimes or jam?
The first one you said.
You're correct. It's sawbuck. Ding, ding. Excellent. And the last one, now Peachy, I don't mean to, you know, it's after hours, so we can get a little bit naughty here, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think? Peachy, what do you think is the Viagra Triangle? The Viagra Triangle. Is it the bathroom, a neighborhood known for its clubs and rich older men, or the hospital?
Rich older men?
That's correct.
I guess.
Well, it's a good guess because, see, if they're rich older men, they buy Viagra, they hang out at the clubs. So it works out well. Susan.
Because it's uplifting.
Correct. It is uplifting and, you know, with natural enhancements and sometimes not so natural. Peachy, thank you so much for calling. We've got a gift card for you for Lou Mel Nyes. We're sending out a pizza for you, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Hold on the line, and Shante will take your information. LouMalnati's.com, over 40 locations in the Chicagoland area, including, like, in Lincoln Square, there's a great one. They're all over the place, Esmeralda. It's hard for me to stay on my diet.
I think they have salads.
They are delicious salads, and I would have it alongside my fantastic Lou Malnati's
pizza. Of course, yes. A balance.
And you know what's funny? We always think deep dish when we talk about Lou Malnati's, but their thin crust is ridiculous too.
Mm.
So very good. Do you use the word pop at all?
You know what? I say soda.
Oh.
And I think it's because in Spanish, soda, pop is soda.
Yes.
So I think I've just kind of taken it from that, and I say soda.
That's fair.
Or I'll say soda pop.
Soda. Oh, mm-hmm. You combine them, both of them. Mm. Tips and links. I like. But it was great because he was like, I think that's sausage. And I didn't want to say you're right until he heard barbecue. Then he would know he was right. Jay was correct. But you know what's? Garrett's popcorn has been dropping off. I'm not sure what's happened. I'm not sure what relationship WGN has built with Garrett's. But again, in the same vein of my addressing Lou Malnati's, not doing much for my being able to get ready for bikini weather. If you keep dropping, I love the Garrett's popcorn. You can't not eat that.
I know for sure.
They give you a scoop, and I think the scoop is so that you can pour some into your own bag. I use that to just dump it into my mouth.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I just open my jaw, I actually unhinge my jaw in order to get more popcorn in my face at one time.
That is smart.
They have a new one that's got like butter and pepper on it, by the way.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, tomorrow night we will air the interview that we did with Rick Bayless today, and he was fantastic. I got really nervous when he walked in the door. I've been a fan, and then like I was out of being a fan of his because I was like, here's a guy who's like, you know, making all these great dishes and talking about. But then I fell in love with him again, and then there was an oversaturation. I was like, who's this guy that he owns this huge empire based on Mexican food? His food's ridiculously good.
It's wonderful. I love watching his show.
Oh, it's so good.
One plate at a time.
He's so passionate about it.
He is. And that's crazy. I watched a thing on him. I watched like a biography thing on him. And it was crazy to hear, you know, that he lived in Mexico for so long.
Five years.
Yeah.
Yes. Longer than I have.
Yeah.
Because I've been there for 2 weeks at a time. Tops. Tops.
Ditto.
I've spent maybe altogether 2 months in Mexico. I don't think that counts.
I maybe got like a month on you.
Mm.
But yeah. He's been there far, far longer.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's been, I don't even know if I spent 2 months. I've got to go to Mexico. I need to take my kids to Mexico at some point. The place you went looks amazing.
Oh, it's gorgeous. There's so many places, too. So you have so many choices to go in Mexico.
Absolutely. And I love that he moved to Chicago because his wife was from the area. That's why he chose Chicago. And at the time, in the 80s, Chicago was not a food destination. He's been part of that explosion of just culinary expertise. It's been wonderful. I actually, there was another story I meant to read last week. And there's a, you know, the mayor has been working very hard to revitalize the Chicago River. And there used to be races in the Chicago River decades ago, like in the early 1900s. People would, there'd be these, you know, long races swimming in the river. And they are proposing a long distance swim in the Chicago River. I don't know if you've seen the river.
Wait, like you're in it swimming?
Yes.
Or in a boat?
No, you're swimming in it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I don't really know if I want to get in.
It was in 1908, there was an Illinois Athletic Club. There was a marathon river swim. And they are thinking about reviving that event.
I mean, that makes sense in 1900-whatever because they hadn't ruined it that much.
Exactly.
Although, yeah, because stuff didn't get in, right?
But I don't know how their sewer system.
From the slaughterhouses.
But I wonder how their, exactly. But I don't know how their sewer system worked either, as you mentioned, from the slaughterhouses and from our, you know, facilities.
Yeah, and the fact that Bubbly Creek is Bubbly Creek and still bubbling and from all of the slaughterhouse stuff. And
Do you think, I'm reading this and I just realized technically it is legal to swim in the Chicago River.
I could believe that.
It is legal. It tells you something when something is legal and you've never, ever, not once, ever seen someone swimming in the Chicago River.
Yeah, I've never had I don't even want to get into a kayak, only because I'm scared it's going to flip over and I'm going to be in the water.
No, you're going to be right. The things that deter us, I've never seen so. 312-981-7200. We have a guest coming up, but if you have a chance, text us or call us and let us know, would you swim in the Chicago River? I don't see anything that they've done anything to sort of alter the contents of the river that would make it swimmable or appealing for swimming conditions.
And then when do the carp?
Oh.
Where do they start?
And the smelt, too, by the way, in the summertime.
Well, I just think the carp, because don't they fly around?
Oh.
They jump around and they feel you.
The Asian carp, well, they, yeah.
Yeah, when there's movement, they freak out and start jumping around. Can you imagine you're trying to swim and these things hitting you in the face?
You might be better off if they're swimming because if you're already in the water with them, because it's more dangerous if you're in a boat and they fling themselves at you.
Yeah, but when they land back into the water, you might be in their way.
That's true, too.
Just open your mouth and eat the fish.
Oh, there we go.
Sushi.
Yeah, but the problem with carp is it's too bony.
Yeah, there's a lot of bones. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not swimming in the Chicago River.
I'm with you. I'll be on the side. Cheering on who's ever swimming.
Yes, you go. That would be fun. They are in the midst of creating some wonderful river walk activities and destinations. You and I will be out there with a cocktail, perhaps a rum cocktail, perhaps a painkiller with Pusser's rum.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. All of that's happening. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And it's important to understand what you should do to protect your privacy. We've been talking a lot about WikiLeaks. There's been conversations about the CIA. There have been some interesting pieces of information released from the White House in the form of tweets and perhaps press conferences about whether or not a microwave is listening in on what you do. I'm not really sure about that one. I don't know where that comes from or what that even refers to, but perhaps our friend David Cox can help us out. He is the co-founder and CEO of Liquid VPN Inc. And, he's here to help us about the CIA hacking revelation. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Patty?
I'm very well. I don't even know where to begin on this. What do you want to tell our listeners about the CIA and the hacking?
Well, Okay, to be perfectly honest with you, the CIA, the revelations are, they're eye-opening, but in the security industry, they weren't nearly as bad as what we thought they would have been. You know, when the NSA hacks came out with Edward Snowden, it was like, you know, they're spying on everybody. It was really bad.
Right.
The CIA hacks are more aimed at spying on individuals. And they're not necessarily, they're not necessarily spying on us. They're spying on, quote unquote, the bad guy. Now, that could change, but from what we've seen so far, it's kind of, you know, a specific target. There's been a couple things that were a little bit concerning. There's a few things that are a little bit concerning with these hacks. You know, the fact that they are taking vulnerabilities through, like, software and services that we use and paying the companies to not fix them. And then they can use them for spying. That's pretty concerning because
Does that mean a company finds there's a vulnerability, you know, there's a breach somewhere, they're asking them not to fix it so that they can leave that door open for the CIA?
That's correct.
Okay.
There was a spreadsheet in the WikiLeaks document that has all these different, you know, these different companies that were kind of allowing these vulnerabilities to exist.
Wow. Do we think the CIA, I mean, we talk about how much information we share online. Presumably the CIA has a stockpile of that.
They could. And when you, when you look at it, really, again, when you're talking about stockpiling information, you're really looking more at the NSA. The NSA does the big dragnet stuff. The CIA does a little bit more targeted stuff. It's more like how the FBI would do it. Although, that's not to say if they want something from you or if they are trying to target you for something, yes, you cannot hide from them. Obviously, they can turn your TV on and listen to you.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's what people have been talking about in the last couple weeks as far as things like the Samsung televisions and whether or not they're listening to you. Should people take precautions? What can they do to protect themselves and their privacy?
Well, the Samsung, with the Samsung leak, that kind of stuff has been pretty well documented within the security community for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say don't buy a smart TV with a microphone, don't plug it in.
You mean don't plug in the microphone?
Don't plug it into the internet.
Okay.
There's not a lot you can do. That's the real crappy part of all this. Something that I did find really concerning when I was going through it is, you know, they've got this whole division that's researching, how to control these new vehicles, you know, because all these new vehicles are like fly-by-wire, which can be controlled, you know, they can take control of them over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading some of that stuff, and it kind of brought back, I don't know if you remember, like back in 2013, there was an investigative journalist, his name was like Michael Hastings. He was investigating the CIA and the NSA, and he died in a car crash that was very, it was very
suspicious.
There was something weird going on. And he's got all these people that are, you know, they're trying to get to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. And then when you see a leak like this and you see that they can actually do targeted assassinations using a vehicle, it kind of makes, you know, you always have to ask that what if. And that's what's really scary. That kind of stuff is like, you know, that's next level stuff. You really got to be careful with that.
And what is your company? What is a VPN?
Okay, so a VPN is for internet privacy. It protects your privacy from like Wi-Fi eavesdropping. If you're on a guest network and maybe there's someone inside of that network that wants to filter out your traffic, it's fairly easy to do. but when you use a VPN, it encrypts all of your traffic, so they can't. So you know they can get the traffic, but they can't decrypt it. They can't see what it is.
Okay. So so people do need to be aware of what information they're sharing, and you know take precautions in order to make sure that it's not all just freely available.
I would say like realistically, if you don't know, if you're not like at home or you're not at work, if you're just on a on a Wi-Fi hotspot, you probably shouldn't even connect to it. And as for what you're sharing, everything that you share is out there forever, and it's always going to be out there, and someone's always going to be able to find it. You really need to think twice about writing anything, sharing anything, because you never know who's going to, look it up and hold it against you at some point, whether it be the CIA or your boss or, it's getting to the point now where everything we do is online, and, our whole lives are online, and it's, you're like an open book.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. When you are, like, let's say you're at a coffee shop, and you think, well, I just want to log on. I'm going to Google. I'm going to do some shopping, or I need to do some research for something I'm writing. You're really taking a chance. Can you use – what if you have, like, a Wi-Fi on your phone, like a hotspot phone? Is that
– Yes, you can. That would be considered a safe Wi-Fi.
Uh-huh.
You just have to make sure that you're connecting to the right one. A lot of times when they go fishing at, like, coffee shops and stuff – they have like these little they're like called war dialers, and what they do is they project this Wi-Fi hotspot that's kind of fake. So they'll name it like basically something that's very common, and then hope that people connect to them accidentally. And then what they do is it's called a man in the middle attack. So what they do is when you connect to that, all of your traffic is going through their hotspot, and they use like a packet analyzer and just basically can just take anything that's not encrypted.
And what have you found? I mean, like some of the people who come to you, are the majority of them, do you have sort of equal parts people who want to be preventative and people who have experienced, some sort of breach of their privacy and security?
Yeah, when I first started, it was kind of more, people that were, they had something happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the Snowden documents came out, and then all these kind of leaks have been happening, and then the war on investigative journalism, people have been really scared. So we get journalists that are signing up. We have political dissidents that sign up, and then we just also have people that want to maybe want to download a movie or something, and they don't want to get caught. So it runs the gamut.
When you say that people who are like journalists and people who are political dissidents, so you're seeing an uptick in that in the last few months, I'm guessing?
No, this has been for the past couple of years. The political climate right now is crazy. Ever since the election, we've seen like 75% jump in signups, and I think that's just because of people being a little bit unsure of what's going on. But it's really a it's a wider issue. It's been going on for quite some time. And that was another thing in this document. They kind of said that they had found these back doors from, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Signal, but that's kind of a good encryption app that a lot of your investigative journalists use when they're communicating, because it's end-to-end encryption. And if anyone's listening in, they can't get that. But, there's ways to get around it. So this has been going on for a while. This war on encryption has been going on for like 20, 25 years.
Wow.
It's just now that it's coming to light, because as the internet becomes and takes over more and more, aspects of our lives, these leaks can't help. They're just going to happen, because there's just so many tools that they have to build. And it's kind of funny, the CIA in particular, I really got a kick out of this. A lot of these tools that they build, okay, because they have to put them on someone else's computer,
mm-hmm.
They can't put them on the other person's computer or the other person's device if they're classified. So they have to unclassify these tools to put them on the target's computer to compromise the computer.
Okay.
I thought that was amazing. I'm like, wow. So somewhere, there's a repository of all these tools. Obviously, now it's on WikiLeaks, but I'm sure there's quite a bit more. That all this unclassified information that they've had to unclassify so they can use it on people.
Wow, that's remarkable. And what should what should people do? I mean, they can hire someone like you to make sure that their information is protected. Where should people go to find out more information about the work that you do and your peers?
You know, they really have to, you know, I would say if you are using the internet and you are using, you know, a lot of your devices, you know, like me, I'm on my phone, on the internet, laptops, I would say limit the amount of software that you use. You know, be very careful on the websites that you go to. Be very careful about anything that you buy that has a microphone or a camera. And if they do have a microphone or a camera, find out, do some research on it and make sure that there's a way to turn it off. I know some of the new laptops, some of the new devices have physical kill switches that will actually cut the power off to the camera and the microphone. If you press a button, and that's kind of nice to have. If you're going on guest networks, if you're surfing from friends' houses or you're surfing from the library, I would say look into getting a VPN and make sure you make sure that it's a decent one that has good encryption, because some of them are out there, they don't offer encryption, and instead they spy on you, which is terrible. But it, you know, everyone's out to make, you know, everyone's jumping on board. So they, you know, you really have to be careful. You have to be careful on what you install and, again, what you put on there. Even if you have all the privacy protection in the world, all the encryption, all the antivirus, all that stuff,
right?
You still should not put anything on the internet that you don't want your mom to see.
No, I think that's a good rule of thumb. Well, thank you so much. And where can people find out more information about you?
They can go to www.liquidvpn.com, or they can hit me up at Twitter at DavidCox79.
It's DaveCox79, is that right?
Yep.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Dave. We appreciate your time. Again, we've been talking to David Cox. He's the co-founder and CEO of Liquid VPN Inc., and we look forward to talking to you again, sir. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are trying to find Michael Heidemann. He is at South by Southwest, and I believe we are going to hear from him. Oh, is he on the line right now? Michael Heidemann's on the line. Have we found him? I knew you were at a concert. You couldn't talk to us earlier. I hope you're having a great time, Michael. How are you doing?
Hi, Patty. I'm doing very well. I apologize.
Oh, stop it. You're on you're on work vacation.
It's no excuse. When Shantae called me, to get on the show tonight, I was stuck in the middle of the photo pit at the Wu-Tang Clan concert here at the Austin City Limits Moody Theater Pavilion, and I couldn't escape it. It was so loud that there would not have been a chance that you could hear me in a heartbeat.
Esmeralda,
that is the weirdest sentence I have ever heard.
The Wu-Tang photo pit. Is that what you said?
Yes.
The Wu-Tang Clan photo pit?
Yeah, I think Shantae texted me right when Redman jumped on stage, and I was like, so there was no way that I could escape. There were people on each side of me, but I'm so glad to hear you. How's everything going in Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
How's the weather? Let's see. So last night there was a 20 to 25 car pileup on my way in, and I awoke to hear Steve Grzinich talk about how there was a 20 to 25 car pileup this morning again. Was it that big again, Esmeralda? Did you hear about that one? It was pretty huge.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, there was another one this morning. Yes. So,
oh my word.
I took Metra in and I watched the park. I wish I had taken photos of the parking lot, but you know what? Then it's just mocking people who got on the Kennedy this morning. As you are from Austin, Texas, what's the temperature in Austin?
Well, right now it's a balmy 64 degrees. I have my life sweater on and jeans, so it's walkable, but you know, I do miss Chicago. I'm keeping the sweater on just to make sure that everyone knows that I am from Chicago and I'm used to the cold.
Oh, I see what you're saying right there. Mm-hmm. And what did you do today? You saw Wu-Tang Clan, and what else did you see?
Well, the Wu-Tang Clan was a big thing because, you know, it's rare to see them. Actually, in the Wu-Tang Clan concert, before I forget, Seth Rogen, I saw his new movie with James Franco that's coming out yesterday. And he was actually in attendance, standing right by him most of the show, which was kind of cool.
Okay, wait a minute. How was the movie? Can you tell us about the movie?
My gosh, it's a new movie that's coming out. It's called The Disaster Artist, and it's about this cult film called The Room. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's basically gained this Rocky Horror Picture Show notoriety where people go, it only made $1,800 in the theaters, but now it sells out all over the country doing midnight showings, and they reenacted that whole movie and the director about how he made it.
Uh-huh.
And James Franco plays him, and Seth Rogen is in it as well. You need to see it. It's going to be on at the tip of everyone's tongues in about a few months.
So I've heard about that movie, and I'm hearing that James Franco might be up for an Oscar.
Oh.
Because of this.
Really?
Yeah. That's good.
They were saying that he totally embraced the character, so he never broke character. It was like a Daniel Day-Lewis style thing. So you'll see him, and it doesn't really even seem like him. It's different voice, different hair, different look.
Really?
Yeah, Patty, you need to see The Room in order to... Not, you don't have to see The Room in order to understand this, but you'll have a better context. And The Room is supposedly like just the worst movie ever. It's awful acting. It's a terrible movie.
Why have I heard of The Room? I feel like I've heard of it, but I've obviously never seen it.
You may have heard of Room, which won the Oscars a few years ago, but this is The Room.
Okay. Articles are important.
Not Oscar-worthy.
Okay, so far you've seen movies. You've talked to Bill Nye. You've talked to Mick Fleetwood. You've seen Seth Rogen hanging out at Wu-Tang Clan. I don't even know. Where does a week for Mike Heideman at South by Southwest even go from here?
You know, it's I don't know. I think that I should just, you know, take my blanket up and just take a nap after a while. For a minute there, I thought I was going to fall asleep in my brisket sandwich this morning. So
Wait a minute. For
That's
breakfast,
not a bad problem to have.
No, having brisket sandwich for breakfast, first of all, and wanting to fall asleep in it, I think that's actually kind of commendable.
Well, I'm just trying to stay healthy. It's a very healthy diet I'm going on. Well, pinto beans, potato salad, and brisket sandwiches all day.
Now, have you found the free food places we talked about?
Absolutely. So for our listeners who are listening, there was this magical list of things that I was supposed to do and not do. Well, let me tell you, Patty, I'm doing all the right things now because I have been eating nothing but free food. There's free drinks everywhere. You walk down the street, which is like a Michigan Avenue-style street. It's called Sixth Street. And basically the entire place is littered with concerts and food trucks. And then if you just go on a side street, there's like these free parties that you can go and attend. And they lure these people in by saying, we have open bar. Now, I am a professional, so I do not drink while I'm at these events, of course. So I drink lemonade, of course. But the cool thing is, you're able to get free food all day. I've been going to this one specific place called Happiness Avocado, where they give you avocado and vegetables that you can dip in them. So it's fantastic. This food truck needs to come to Chicago.
Now, can I recommend a place, or maybe you might know about it? I just have friends who are there, and then they were recommending to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Breakfast tacos at Torchy's.
Ooh.
Mm.
That's supposed to be good. So if you see Torchy's, get the breakfast tacos.
That's like a really Austin staple, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. And also the green tacos at Chewy's.
Oh, wow.
And apparently it looks like it's been decorated by Roy Orbison, so... That could probably be a good place to go.
There you go.
He's my spirit animal.
Oh, there you go.
Well, now you've got to go there. By the way, now I'm looking at another list. Are you a badge holder?
Yes, I am a badge holder.
Okay, there's a place called New Dutch Wave House that has free breakfast from 9 to 10 with free coffee and waffles, Dutch grilled cheese sandwiches, and Stroop waffle ice cream.
Oh, my gosh.
Stroop waffles are so good.
Stroop waffles, yes.
I'm just saying.
You know what? I'm starting to see that, like, if you get one of those passes, it's so economical. Everyone's giving you free food and drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to spend that much.
This is why I'm going to, right now on the radio, petition for Pretty Late Goes Down to Texas.
I like it.
For next year.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Reaper Bond Hamburgers, also for badge holders only, has free food, free burgers and beer. And that's courtesy of the city of Hamburg at 503 East Cesar Chavez Street.
Patty?
Yes.
You know your producer. Chantel, you're doing an amazing job. Your producer, Michael, he is a full-fledged German man, and uh-huh. he has definitely gone and to this, and those hamburgers are phenomenal. Phenomenal.
So you are doing South by Southwest correctly.
Yeah, well, I'm trying my hardest. I mean, anything that says free hamburgers, I'm in.
Excellent. Well, then I have nothing else to share with you. I think that you're doing spectacularly well. So what was on the plan for tomorrow? What's your schedule like?
All right, so for tomorrow, the film and the comedy portions of the festival are wrapping up. So music is starting officially tonight, but it's really getting into full swing tomorrow. So tomorrow I'm hitting all music throughout the day. What you do is I can see that they're setting up everything for the music event. They're doing the YouTube stages. Pandora has a place. TuneIn. WGN Radio is eventually going to get one. Trust me. But right now, it's all music. So people are talking about what concerts they're seeing. Jimmy World is playing. I believe Weezer is playing later in the week. There's a lot of great Chicago bands. Benjamin Booker is going to be playing. He came through Chicago a few times. It's a phenomenal place to be. The energy is so high right now, especially when music comes to town. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that.
Well, if you get a chance, by the way, also look up Eric Childress, who's coming up on Nick D's show next. He's going to talk about the movies that he's seen at South by Southwest. So maybe you guys.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I want to connect with him.
He's bouncing around. Maybe you guys need to meet at the burger place at Hamburg. I'm just saying.
Hey, beer's on me.
There, because it's free. You're a good guy.
I'm economical.
Yes, you are. Well, have fun. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night, all right?
Great talking to you, Patty.
Be safe.